us wanting to take control. That's what we deem as security.
He wants us to feel isolated. Women, all the way back to Eve, have dealt with insecurity.
Well, hey girls, welcome back to another episode of Braveheart Talks. And I'm super excited to get into today's conversation because I have a very good friend on this podcast with me today. But before we get there, I just want to remind you that conference is coming soon. We are now on the countdown. We are weeks away, 24th and the 25th of May. If you have not yet got your tickets, head over to our website. That is braveheartconference.co.uk. You can purchase your tickets there. You don't want to miss this opportunity to get yourself in the room because something incredible happens when God's girls gather together. But for today's conversation, I have my really good friend, Mrs. Tammy Cole. She is in Wisconsin, out in the US of A, and I love her dearly. Hey there, Tammy. Hi.
Hey, sweet Emma. How are you?
I'm so excited to have you on. It has been way too long since we connected.
So long. Yes, we need to right this wrong fast.
Yeah, and so many of our local girls, you will all know of Pastor Aaron Cole from Life Church, Wisconsin. And this is his beautiful wife, Tammy, and they have been really good friends of ours for years, well over a decade now. Can you believe that? Well over a decade. Yeah. But actually,
We look the same. We haven't changed.
Oh, no, we haven't aged. We haven't changed. No, we are the same.
Yeah.
And, I just was wanting to explain to the girls that you and Pastor Aaron were so pivotal in the early days of this church. Without you, I don't even know if we would have survived. You became our go-to couple and our go-to friends and really were instrumental in us setting up and getting going. And in many ways, you were able to pastor and speak life into us. And so we value that and we love you dearly for it. But before we get into today's topic and conversation, just introduce yourself to the girls and just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you for having me, Emma. I love you to bits and was honored when you asked me to come on Braveheart. So I am just a mom, a wife, a woman trying to do what God has called me to do, right? What we're all trying to do, be in his calling, in our purpose. I have two girls that Anna is 26 and Ava is 22. And I head up the women here at Life Church Wisconsin. My oldest is about to make me a grandmother for the first time. So I'm way too young for that, but excited. We are excited. We are just really in the flow of what God is doing. And we're so happy and excited to be in his will. So that's a little bit of who I am.
Amazing, amazing. And you know what is so interesting, the way you introduced yourself there? It's like, I'm just a mom. I'm, you know, Aaron's wife. I work at church. I'm just that. And you know, is that not what all women say? We all say, I'm just that. Like, oh, there's nothing special about me. There's nothing important about me. Honestly, girls, we are like, we're pivotal to life. I don't think the family
it shuts down without us.
Churches would really struggle without us. But funnily enough, talking around that, I wanted to have this conversation with you around the topic of insecurity, because there's just so many avenues you could go down speaking on this particular subject. And yes. I wanted to ask you the question and say, do you think that insecurity is something that all women deal with in life? Do we all have this? Is it something that's hardwired into all of us? Do you think there is some women that actually go through life without having to grapple with it or wrestle with it or deal with it? Do you think there are people that are able to just float through life without having those huge moments of insecurity?
Well, you know, when you sent me the topic, it was all in caps and it said insecurity. And immediately I started to sweat. I was like, no, I became insecure in the moment of thinking that I had to talk about insecurity. So I think insecurity, when I read that question, I was like, you know, I think it goes all the way back to Eve. And I think Eve dealt with insecurity and the enemy knew exactly where her insecurity was. Mm. He pinpointed it and he pushed it that spot. I think, now this is just me, this is not theologian, but I think Eve had a fear of missing out. Mm. She was not in the creation process. She was the last one to be created. So she wasn't quite sure where she fit in. Like women, right? We all have that feeling of, where do I fit in? How am I supposed to do what he has called me to do? Adam had already named the animals, had done all this stuff, and was now going to have to do whatever next that God had for them as a couple. And what am I supposed to do? And the enemy came in, and I like to say, Eve invited him over for tea. And that was her first mistake. She allowed him to come in to her inner circle and started to speak. And she listened to him, and he picked up on that insecurity that she had of missing out. So that's where insecurity comes in. I think women all the way back to Eve have dealt with insecurity. How it fleshes out is going to be different and unique to each one of us. You may have a fear of having your picture taken because you're 10 pounds overweight. I may have a fear of public speaking or teaching or, you know, whatever our insecurity is, fear of rejection. He's going to play to that. So we as women have to know who we are so that we can stand against that insecurity.
I love that response. That's such an interesting way of looking at it. And I've never really thought about that before, how, you know, she was the last one and even all the jobs had been taken. Adam had done the whole thing. And you are true, though, in what you say about Eve, because the enemy came and said to her, you know, God doesn't want you to eat the fruit because he doesn't want you to be like him. And in that moment, she'd forgotten that she actually already was like him. And so, you know, she was made and created in his image. And so it's almost like what you said, like she invited him into a space where she should not have, that there should not have been that void and that space within her in the first place where she felt insecure. And almost like she took the fruit, which was the one fruit, you kind of like, there's a forest of fruit to go and eat. There's orchards you can go and eat. But she wanted to eat the one that she was forbidden to eat. And when Satan has that conversation with her and challenges her, it's almost like you could look at it like a controlling issue. Like it's the one area, you know what, maybe I could take control over this one area because all the other areas have been taken care of.
She had a fear and he knew it and he went after it. And he questioned God to her. It's the first question in the word. And she bit it literally, but she took hold of that. And it's a battle of the mind. Anxiety is, insecurity is. So I just, she set us up, that sister did.
Absolutely. She set us up big time. Lots of questions for Eve when we get to glory. Just talking about that element of controlling, I think there are many women have controlling issues, let's be honest. And when I say controlling issues, I don't always mean the bossy, outrageously loud woman. That's not always what I mean. But what I mean is controlling issues can often look like what you said, it's the FOMO, it's the fear of missing out. So I want to know everything all of the time. Do you think that control is actually, there's a root of insecurity at the you know, at the base of women who are very controlling, needing to know what everybody's doing at everybody's time. And also you can't accept when something goes wrong or doesn't quite go according to plan. And so they get, you know, that's a form of control as well, right? When you have already, you know, we unrealistic expectations, we want it to be a certain way and go a certain way. And when it doesn't go that way, and is that all, do you think, rooted in insecurity?
Oh, completely. Because if we understand that that is such a lie of the enemy, control, like who has control? Ultimately, nobody has control. We're all at the mercy of God, our Father, right? But in our heads, for women, control equals security. And that is, if we could just surrender that need for control. It's like holding sand. When you go to the beach and you grab it and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to get a fistful of control sand, and you grasp it. And what does it do? It all just pours out. That's what control is. But when we learn that if we can be secure in who we are and we lay that control need down at the foot of the altar, at the cross, then He's able to come in and give you what you need in that moment. And that's real control. That's real security, is when you can lay it down and give it to Jesus. And He's like, I'm coming in like a flood and I'm going to take control of this situation.
So good. And really interesting what you said there, because what you were saying was us wanting to take control in our mind, that's what we deem as security. So if I'm in the know, and if everything's going according to my plans, then I feel secure because I know what's coming and know how it's going to be. And I love that analogy of the sand. So you're saying, in other words, for us to feel secure, it's like scripture tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things He will add to you. And so that's right. The other things that we're looking for in our life, right? Is that if we take it to God first. And how would that look, Tammy? What would that look like for someone who didn't know how to take their insecurity to God? What does that look like?
So for me, I'm just going to say, an insecurity I have is having people over to my home. I am nervous to open my home because of the way it looks. It may not look like a magazine cover. The food I present may not be like somebody you would see on a TV cooking show, right? So I get this insecurity that comes in. They're going to notice that my baseboards haven't been cleaned or whatever, right? My kitchen isn't spotless. My house isn't decorated the way I want it to be, whatever. When that insecurity comes up and Aaron says, hey, we're having people over to the house, then what I need to do is I need to go, okay, this isn't my house. Yeah. This is God's house. You show us in the word that we are to open our home, that we're to be hospitable. So I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to give this anxiety straight back to you. Lord, this isn't from you. I know it's not. This is from the enemy coming in, trying to kill, steal, and destroy the joy of having people into my home, of community with other believers. So I'm going to just say, this chaos, this confusion is from the enemy. And the Lord, I need you to come in and take over and just give it to Him.
So good. And it really is. It's just as practical as praying and then visualizing in our minds, just the sort of the passing over of that. And I just want to say on that, I have been in your home. And I thought I'd stepped into Buckingham Palace. It is beautiful. Oh, and whatever. This woman can cook. And she introduced me. You were the first one that introduced me to fire pit marshmallows. And you were do you remember? And I was like, what?
Yes.
S'mores and marshmallows and all
gooey
of that.
Yumminess. Yes.
You introduced me to all of that. So yeah, and it's really funny, isn't it? Because quite often we're insecure over the areas that other women would never think that about us. You'd never think, you know, we don't see each other through the lens that we see ourselves in. And I think, you know, that's the greatest deception of the enemy. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I think he just wants, particularly with women, is to steal your confidence, you know,
completely
destroy your courage and just to stop you from ever motioning forward, because all you can look at in life is the flaws and what I don't have and how it's gone wrong. And then we minimize and shrink our lives down so much till, you know, you could sit at home. I've just said you have a fabulous home, but if you believed your own insecurity, you'd have a very insular life because you'd never have friends over. You'd never do the
social. And how sad is that?
Yeah.
And that's what he wants.
Absolutely.
He wants us to feel isolated.
Totally.
And such a lie. A lie.
Yeah. Isolation is just a real killer. But if you don't have any self-belief, you never believe that you have any part of yourself that you can take to others. And
exactly.
Just on that, how do you feel social media plays a negative part on women? You know, how does social media put pressure on women and therefore increase the insecurities within us? Because it's a big part, it's a huge part of our lives, right? Social media, it's just, there's no getting away from it these days.
And my question is, how does it not affect us as women? I mean, it's you're too much or you're not enough, right? It's this constant tug of war back and forth. You never can fit the mold that they want you to fit into, right? And it's this device that the enemy is constantly using and switching up the rules to. And he uses it, just like you have said, fear of rejection, lack of self-esteem, the comparison game. Oh my goodness, right? The people pleasing. I have to do this. I have to be this. I have to post for my friends, for the people, right? And it causes you to have that fear of isolation. I have a quote that I like to remind myself of quite often, and I don't know who it came from, but I read it and I wrote it down and I keep it kind of in front of me a lot. And it's this, it says, Satan doesn't want us stepping in confidence. He wants us cowering in fear.
Oh, wow.
And he does. If he can get in there and get you in the corner hiding where you are worthless to the Lord and what he's called you to and to what your purpose is, and he shrinks you, he's constantly wanting to make you smaller and smaller and smaller. And if he can do that, then he's won, right? Yeah. And we need that validation. So we scroll or we swipe on our devices thinking that's where we're going to get that from. And all it does is make us feel smaller and more insignificant than what we really are.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so dangerous. And the minute you believe a lie, it starts to grow, and it grows in your imagination and it grows in your thought life. And then the next thing, it becomes the reality by which you live by. I also think that us as women, we put these unrealistic expectations on others. And we do it because we want to protect the insecurity within ourselves. And so we put these unrealistic expectations on our husbands, on our children, on our church. We put them on our friendship circles. And actually, these unrealistic expectations, they actually end up destroying marriages, destroying families, and destroying. And again, I think it's all part and parcel of the control element. But it's like, how can we get out of that cycle and circle? Because I think, you know, let's just talk about parenting for a moment, motherhood. And we put unrealistic expectations on our children, a way we want them to be, we want them to perform. And it's not necessarily, you know, we're not, on this moment, we're not always thinking about them. We're just thinking about how they look as a representation of me.
Don't embarrass me. Whatever you do, act like you've been
here
before.
We've both got grown kids. So we know that. We know it, right? And we'll just watch history repeat itself. And so how can we get out of that unhealthy circle? Like, it's got to be something liberating and freeing. We have a job to do with our children as they're growing up. We have a responsibility to put them on the right path. But they're going to grow into adults. They're going to make their own choices. But also our friends get to make their own choices and our husbands get to make their own choices. So how do we not live in that disappointment or that feeling of insecurity because I can't control what everybody else is doing anymore?
Yeah. So it's that pressure of having to be perfect, which nobody is, but social media especially gives that illusion of the perfect family, the perfect vacation, my perfect A+ honor roll student, right? Look at where my kid's going. Look at what my kid has done. Look at how amazing my family is. You know, and I think the cycle needs to be broken. We need to take the pressure off of ourselves as women of that need to be perfect, to give that appearance that we have it. I have it all together. Don't you have it all together? I have it all together. My house is always perfect. I don't know if it made its way to the UK or not, but a couple of years ago on Instagram, on the gram, as you call it. They
the reality, the place of reality.
Yes. Oh my gosh, what a lie. But it was these home decorators that were influencers. Again, what a word, right? We've given these people influence over our lives. But they went on, and instead of showing their perfect laundry room or their perfect kitchen, they showed it in the everyday chaos. And I was like, this is somebody I can follow. This is somebody I can relate to, right? They took the illusion of this perfection in a home, in a life. They would show pictures of family vacation when the kids are all going, you know, and the mom's like, I have to have this perfect picture to post, yeah, right? No, you start breaking the cycle of the enemy saying that it has to be perfect, that your life has to be perfect. Mm. Why? Why do we do that to ourselves, right?
What's perfect anyway?
Nobody. Normal. We need normal. Normal needs to come back into the equation. And us as Christian women, as Christ followers, we know that that is a cycle, an illusion of the enemy. And he's just trying again to make us feel isolated, to make us that comparison game. Oh, it's so overtaking. Mm-hmm. And it can affect our friendships, right? If your friend is constantly getting to go and do and have, and you're not, mm-hmm. then the enemy comes in and there's this jealousy that creeps in. There's this insecurity of, I'm not good enough to be her friend. Mm-hmm. She's more knowledgeable or knows more than I do about how to travel or how to go and do this special thing. And this fall, I had a bunch of girls over to my house and one of them made bread. She made a loaf of bread. And I was like, how did you do that? Like, what? My mind was blown. Yeah. Like, you didn't go to the store, to the market and buy? She's like, no, I made it. And I'm like, what? She's like, it's easy. And I was like, it's so easy. I'm now making bread. But I thought you had to be like the special baker cook thing that's on TV, yeah, right? No, she took like, no, you don't have to be anything. You can do this. That's what we need to be doing with each other.
Yes. It's an illusion, isn't it? It is.
And I think the world,
yeah, the world presents illusions to us all the time that you can never be. And it's this feeling of worthlessness. And because I could never be as good as, I'm not even going to have a go at. I'm not even going to.
Why try, right?
Why try? Because I'm only going to fail. And so that's the land that we live in. I have to laugh, though. It's something you said before. I think you're absolutely educating me on here, though, about, you know, these home makeovers and, you know, taking away the illusion of reality. I was trying to post a picture on Instagram the other night, and it was literally just of some food. I'd done some food prep. It was soup. Just soup. not even as creative as bread. It was just soup. And I tried to take a photo and I just wanted to pop it on my story. It was a quick pop it on my story. And I took the photo and before I went to look at my story, I could see there was a great big stain on the worktop. So I deleted that photograph and I went back and I scrubbed the worktop. And then I took another one and then there was, and then I noticed a bag and it went on like this. And then there was the vinegar and there was some sauce. And I took about five pictures, right? And then I was having to delete them because and the cupboard door was open. And I'm not exaggerating. This went on for about 20 minutes.
And eventually,
I just got the photograph out there and just put, hey, batch cooking. Like, I just did that. And you know what? I sat down after to thought, that's taken like 25 minutes of my evening just trying to post soup. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, I should just be able to go. You know, do you remember the days when we used to put the film in to be developed and we didn't know what was going to come out till it came out? And you would,
so you spent, you would the money
to the photo shop. Yeah, you've spent your money and then you're just laughing. And they were just such real, raw photographs.
Yes.
But yes, no, so I feel very challenged because no stalkers. No critics. And you could only show them to your friends. And so, you know, I feel challenged about that because it's like everything has to be perfect. Can't even just take a photograph of food without being perfect. And so, yeah, you know, we're going to let ourselves down all of the time if we think like that. I just want to read you this scripture, and it's obviously, of course, it's from Proverbs 31. It's the, you know, makes me want to spit every time I mention Proverbs 31. However, it's there in the Bible and it's there for us to learn from. And it says this, it says that she, being woman, is clothed in strength and dignity and laughs without fear of the future. I mean, I read that and I think, gosh, imagine having that much confidence about you that you could just laugh at the future. None of us do. We look at the future and we go, oh, what's going to happen? We're like Eeyore, what's going to happen? Oh, yes. How bad can it be? What's it going to be like? You know, we've got to be able to embrace this. But obviously it starts by what she's clothed in. She's clothed in strength and dignity. And because of what she's clothed in, it gives her the confidence to look at the future and go, I don't fear you. I'm not worried about you. In fact, bring that on because I'm just going to laugh because she is so secure in who she is. So I wanted to ask you the question, if you could explain to us, what is dignity? How do we wear it to overcome our insecurity?
So this was interesting because we have a saying, I don't know if it's been to the UK yet or not, but this is cringeworthy. That makes me cringe. Oh, that's cringy. And that's what I think the pendulum has swung, right? That this Proverbs 31 woman is unattainable. Mm. She's cringy, like, that I could never be her. And I think that when you break it down like you did, verse by verse, and you start to read who she is, clothed in strength and in dignity. And what does that mean? Dignity to me in this scenario is that she knows who she is and whose she is. So her strength doesn't come from an inner source. Her strength comes by knowing who she belongs to, who has called her, who has positioned her, who has given her the purpose to do what she is called to do, so that when the future is looking at her face to face, she's able to go, I know who's in my future. Right. I know who has laid out my future, and I'm able to hold my head up, stand straight, look the future straight in the face and go, you have no power over me because I know whose I am, and I can walk into that future knowing that he is right there with me, walking in and going straight ahead. That's how I see her, strength, surrounded by him, wearing the armor of God and walking with her head up, because she knows she is a daughter of the Most High King. So if we could get a hold of that and know that we are not weak, we are not self-reliant, we are a daughter of the Most High King, and we need to walk. You know, I think of a prima ballerina. They are just elegant, right? Their head is up, their shoulders are back. They walk with a grace and a posture of knowing that they have this strength inside of them. That's what we need to do. We need to hold our head up. When the enemy's coming in like a flood and we have a fear of what's going on around us, we need to go, nope, I know who I am and whose I am because I am a daughter of the Most High King. I'm going to hold my head up and I'm going to face this battle straight on.
Beautiful, beautiful. It's almost like then the Proverbs 31 woman is a picture of what Eve was supposed to model to us.
Supposed to be, yes.
You know, it's like this is who Eve was supposed to model to us. So if I was to ask you a question, like what, give me a character in the Bible that you identify with and why, who would that be? Eve?
No. I relate the most to Martha, the sisters, Mary and Martha. I am a doer. I cannot sit still. I have to be go, 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 go. I feel worth when I'm doing. So it's hard for me to even sit and pray. I have to be walking. Like I literally, if it's nice, I'm outside walking and I'm praying. That's when I have my prayer time. If it's bad and it's cold, then I'm on my treadmill and I'm walking and I'm praying. So for me, I can see myself coming up to Jesus and being like, do you see what's going on? Like how dare
with a head wobble
people?
With a head wobble.
Oh, and my finger wagon, you know? And he would literally replace Martha, Martha, Martha with Tammy, Tammy, Tammy. Do you not see that you have worked yourself up over what? Over what? There's one thing that's important, and it's me. You need to focus on me. So I have to, when I catch myself and I'm in that hamster wheel, you know, and I'm just going, 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 I have to remind myself, get out of the hamster wheel. You need to just sit and have a moment with Jesus. Take yourself out and just relax.
That's so good. And you know what? You're so true and so right in what you said. There's no other place to be but with Jesus. And it's like, there actually shouldn't even be a but to Jesus, should there? You know, we seem to try everything else first and then we go, oh, okay, but Jesus, we'll go there now. But really, if we went to him first of all, I love that. And honestly, you've given us so much wisdom and clarity and honesty, because let's face it, it's a battle within all of us. And I think the most insecure thing that we ever do is pretend we're not insecure. You know, the most insecure thing we ever do is try and just bluff our way through that life. It's so perfect. But I'm a great believer when I'm encouraging the girls to get hold of a scripture or something. I'm the kind of like, write it on a post-it note, stick it on your wall, stick it on your mirror, speak it out over yourself every day, because the Bible says that, you know, that our lives are changed through, you know, when we hear the word of God. And the most powerful thing that we can do is read the word of God out loud so that we hear the word of God. And that is where the change comes into place. So what scripture could you give the girls as a takeaway that would maybe help to rebuild their confidence when they've been knocked down through insecurities?
Of course. So one of my go-to, so I challenge the women to write the word out, because there's something about reading it and then writing it and then speaking it.
So good.
So you read it in your head and then you write it out and then you speak it. And one of my favorites is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Amazing. When you think about those three things, power, he's given us the ability, the power to withstand, to look at insecurity and say, not today, Satan, not today. I'm not going to let you rob me of this moment, of this adventure, of this meeting, of this time when people are coming over to my home. I'm not going to let you rob me of that. So he's given us the power to refute it. Then we operate in love. We need to start loving ourselves. We're so critical of ourselves. And when you start saying, I'm a daughter, God created me the way I am. So I need to start looking not at the negatives, not at the things that are a problem, but as the things that are positive, the things that people love about me. And I need to start, when I start feeling down, start going, no, I need to operate in love. When we operate in love towards ourselves and to each other, there's power in that. And then when we operate in self-discipline, keeping yourself in check, who are you allowing to speak into your life? Who are you watching? Who are you reading? And making sure that the word becomes the foundation of your day. Mm. If you start your day in the word, the mindset changes. And when the enemy comes in, you're refuting with the word. Self-discipline, knowing how to regulate when the enemy comes in.
Yeah, and I love that. So much better to build the fence at the top of the cliff rather than the hospital at the bottom. You know, mm-hmm. Read the word at the beginning of the day. Don't be scrapping around looking for a scripture at the end of the day when it's all gone wrong. But your weapon is your word. And that's what we fight the enemy with. So I love that. And what a great reminder, great scripture for God's not given us a spirit of fear, but one of peace, love, and a sound mind. Tammy, thank you so much for popping on and encouraging us today. It's been an honor. Will you come back and speak to us some more? We would love to have you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And of course, anytime. Love you to bits, sister.
Love you, my friend. Well, girls, thank you for tuning into today's podcast. And don't forget, head over to our website, braveheartconference.co.uk, and get your tickets. And we will see you soon.